Bez Hashem Mizbach, we begin Perek Shleisha Asa, the 13th chapter in the Dam Selchus Ma, Beloved, the Laws of the Lender and the Borrower, and the Sivim Shpot, the Book of Judgment. We continue the theme in the previous Perek in discussing regarding different payments as it, different halachas as it applies to payments, and also regarding the specific case of when the mashkin, the security, gets lost. The Rambam gets halacha off regarding when one is collecting not in front of the borrower. So, Mal Vashaboli Pereya B'shtar Shabiyade. A lender is coming to get paid up with a document that he has in his hand. Not in front of the bar is not there. So it depends. So if the courts could send to him to the bar, to let him know that the lender is coming to collect. So that until he comes, that he could litigate with him in court. So then, so they send and they notify him. The reason for that is because a person's assets where the lender is coming to collect from is essentially like the guarantor of the borrower. If someone lends his friend money, he's not allowed to collect from the guarantor first if he doesn't first claim from the borrower. So he can't collect from his assets until he first claims it from the borrower. So if the borrower is available to be brought, he has to be notified first. But the M.E.F. Shalaydiya B'meheirim, but if he cannot be speedily notified because he's very far away, so I'm Lamalva Sheyeshaveya V'yitom Al-Chasam. So we tell the lender, okay, swear that this is the case, and collect from the assets, because had the borrower been here, he could have claimed that, swear to me that I didn't pay up. And we make him swear, and then we collect. So now when the borrower is not here, we claim in his place, and therefore we require the lender to swear that he wasn't paid up. And then he could collect, bein hakarka, bein hatalim, whether he's coming to collect from property or from movable items. And the inchation l'shaver. And we're not concerned that, wait a second, maybe the borrower has a receipt which wouldn't allow the lender to collect. We're not concerned for that, because ultimately the lender has a document. Now, but din zatakan zechachamu, really this law is a rabbinic injunction, and the reason why they allowed him to collect, even though the borrower is not there, is kadei shleyi kolech ve'echad noitel moisav shalchaveder. What might happen is, if he's not allowed to collect unless the borrower is here, everyone's going to take, as in borrowing, from his friend money. He's going to go and live in some other country. And comes out that he's going to lock the door in front of people lending money. No one's going to want to lend money because maybe the guy's going to go away and he's not going to collect. So to prevent that, people are not going to lend anymore. They went and allowed him to collect even if the bar is not there, as long as he swears. Halacha base. Sholei shuroi is tzarech lahav lebezdin. But there's three proofs that he has to first bring to the court, and then he can collect, even though the bar is not there. Roy Rishon, first of all, the first proof is Lekai Mashtar Shabiyadik. He has to validate the document that he's bringing, maybe it's forged. Roy Shnia, the second proof is Shabal Chayva B'Medina Acheres. He has to prove that his debtor is in some other country, that he's not around to be able to stand in court with him. And Roy Lishlish, the third proof is She'ilu Nechasim Shaplein Ha'Levim, that these assets that he wants to collect from really belongs to the borrower, and that's what he's coming to collect from. Halacha Gimel continues regarding collecting from security when the bar is not there. So the lender comes to court, and he brings, this is the security that the loan was based on, that he got as collateral. And he says, okay, this is that guy's security, and I want to sell the security so I can get my debt paid up with, because he owes me the money. So in business, the courts don't have to tell him, no, we have to wait until the borrower is going to come and make a claim. Why don't we wait for the borrower? Maybe he's going to make a claim. No, because if the lender wanted to, he could say, look, I'm holding on to this. He could say I bought it, because what's he doing with it? He would be able to say that. So then we believe him, as long as he takes the oath, as the Rambam is going to shortly explain. And therefore, we don't have to wait for the bar. And the Masin, like, it's a machar b'fnei ed, but we just give him a good idea to sell the collateral, the security that he's selling in front of witnesses, so that the bar will know how much it was sold for, and he's not going to come to contest and say, wait, you sold it more than what the court evaluated for. No, let the witnesses see, and then he'll know that how much it was sold for. Another Ram continues regarding a collection from security that's by the Yershin. So if someone lends his friend on security, the borrower and the lender both die. Now the inheritor says that this guy's security is by our father. So whether the borrower died first or the lender died first, which is important to point out, because although regarding a shtar chayv, a document, of debt, the Rambam explains in Perek Yud Zayin, that if the borrower dies first, then the inheritors of the Malva cannot take anything from the Yerushim of the Leiva, because the moment that the borrower died, the lender was obligated to take an oath. And you cannot bequeath an oath to your children. And that is what the Rambam is saying, that a mashkin, the security is different, like the Rambam explains. Why? So the reason is because Hayil v'hu nifram, since the inheritor of the one who had this loan on security is collecting in mashkin tachas yadai, they're holding on to this security. Ah, and therefore what? Vila Ratzalem, had he wanted to, he could say, L'kucha b'yadi oimer, he would be able to say, oh, why? What are we doing with it? We bought it. So therefore, harizin nishba b'nikitas chefetz. So therefore, they have to swear, holding a holy object, what's the oath that they're taking, that our father didn't tell us that this security was paid up, right? This loan. And then, b'nitl k'derech kol nishba b'nitl, then they take away all people that could swear and collect. Now, the question is, the name mo'en and nishba hestes. So, wait a second, if you're telling me that the security is already by them, and he's swearing not to take, but just to be exempt from giving back, that's generally the halacha of only a rabbinic oath. Why have to do it as a shavuos of a nikitas chefetz, of holding an object? Seemingly, they shouldn't even have to make a biblical oath at all, just a rabbinic oath. The reason is no, because it's somewhere in the middle. They're not really swearing regarding the essence of the collateral itself, not claiming on the essence of the mashkin that it's his. He just wants to sell it and take from its monies to pay up a debt. So therefore, essentially, it is what's called nishba b'neitel. You are swearing to collect, which then you have to swear with a holy object. Because el ala mamon shalikeach, really, it's on the money that he's taking, which that other person owes him, and he wants to collect that from the mashkin. Because she'ilu amal la'atzme shel chebet zeh. Because if you would say on this object itself, at machartli, you sold it to me, at nesatli, you gave it to me, you're right, hayinish v'heses v'nifta, then you would just be able to take rabbinic oath and be exempt. Now, but let's say another case. Let's say there were witnesses that this object was a security by him. But they don't know about how much that was a security for. So then he could only take it with an oath, holding a holy object, because since there are witnesses that saw that it's by him, and they're testifying that it came to him through security, so we don't have any more a migra that it was, he could say, l'kuch b'yadei, he can't say such an oath. He couldn't make such a claim, because we know that it wasn't bought by him. Now, v'hoil ve'ein shem edim, now, but since there is no witnesses, v'yachalem, and he could say, shelihu, that it is mine, so nemalem is believed to say, yesh li'ilav kach v'kach, so this isn't how much is owed to me, of that this is security on what type of, how much is the quantity of the loan. B'shvu atzma shayinishba, with the oath itself that he would swear, that if there were witnesses that it was security. Why is this that he's making this oath? Because shayin oimer migu lafatra mishvu. We don't make a migu to exempt someone from an oath. Lafatra mimaman. It's only to exempt him from a monetary obligation. In other words, we don't say, regarding this mashkin that is believed, with the migu that, oh, I could have said that I bought it, only to exempt him from a monetary obligation. That is, he wouldn't have to give back the security until he takes what he claims. Because if the borrower and the lender are disagreement regarding the amount of the loan that was on the security, the lender is believed with an oath up until the amount of that mashkin, because if he wants to, he could say that it was bought by me. That is, shaliach sa mashkin, that he doesn't have to return the collateral up until what he claims. But the oath he has to take is you can't make a migui on exemption for a shvua, because if it was mine, I wouldn't have to swear about anything. That we don't say. Halacha Dali continues regarding the claims between the borrower and the lender regarding the value of the security. So Malbes Chavei Al Mashkin, continuing this type of case, if someone lends his friend and he has security on that, the lender gets an item that's worth something from the borrower, insurance. V'avarei nignan b'la oinis. Now, the security gets lost or stolen without something way beyond his control. It wasn't oinus. Now, the reason why that's significant is Sharia Malva Chayvid Mihamashkin. So actually, the lender is responsible for the value of the mashkin which was stolen or lost. Kamesh Be'arnu, like I already explained this in Perikur Mechus Schiris Halacha Aleph, that the lender on the mashkin is like a Shem Asachar. He's getting something out of this, so it's like a paid watchman, which is Chayv Agneva Veda. Okay, so he's liable. So he's owed money from the borrower, and he also now owes the borrower for the loss of his mashkin. So Bama Malva, the Malva says, lender says like this, Sela hil besicha alav. Sela is worth 4 dinar. On this security, there was a loan of 4 dinar. Ushne dinar harishaba. Now, the security that I lost to me was worth 2 dinar. So you owe me 2. He says, no. Sela hil v'sami lav. You're right, the loan looks for a sela. V'shekel ha'isha, which actually the girsa should be a v'sela. So he's saying, no, it's actually the security was worth the exact amount of the loan. So, hari ha'malva nishba t'chila shvus ha'shemin she'in b'shusay. So first, what's important is, the lender, he swears first. Now, the reason why he's swearing first, and only then does the borrower swear, is because if you're going to say the borrower swears first, as we'll talk about the oath that he makes, the problem is maybe the borrower is going to swear, and then the lender is going to produce the mashkin, which he always had, comes out that the oath of the borrower was for nothing. So we don't do that. First, the lender has to swear a shvus hashemin she'in b'shusay, an oath of a guardian that he doesn't have this mashkin anymore, because we're concerned that actually maybe he wanted that item, as the Rambam explains in Perek Vav from Hilchos Shel Pekudim. So first he has to swear that he doesn't have it anymore. So then he'll have to pay for its value, but not that he's like hiding it and he really wants it. Then, v'alev nishba hesis, then the borrower makes a rabbinic oath, shayishab keneged achayv, that it was equal, the security was equal actually to the exact amount of the debt that was owed, which is like when someone makes a total denial of owing, because he's totally denying, he says the security that you lost was exactly worth the amount of the loan, so that's only a rabbinic oath, and therefore he's exempt. Another case. Let's Amar Malva, let's say the lender says, Sela hil v'sichalav. This loan on the security was a sela. V'shekel ha'yishava. A shekel is a half a sela, which is 2 dinar, is how much the security was worth, so he's claiming the remaining 2 dinar. Now this case is where it's different from the previous one. The bar says, Sela hil v'sichalav, I love you, the loan was for a sela. U'shloisha dinar ha'yishava. Now the security was worth 3 dinar, so I owe you only 1. So it wasn't worth 4 dinar, it was worth 3. Again, first the lender swears that he doesn't have the mashkin anymore. Then the borrower swears how much it was worth. He has to make a biblical oath because it's a mayde mixtus. He's partially admitting to owing the lender. And the reason is he admitted to part of it. And then he has to pay that din that he did admit to, because he admits he owes one, he just denies the rest. Another case. Let's say the borrower says, Sela hil v'sami lav. So he's striking first, because here he's actually asking for more. Before the lender was making the claims, now in this case the borrower is making the claim. So the borrower says, the loan was for a seller. U'shtayim ha'yishava. The security I gave you was worth more than the loan. It was worth 2 selam. So you owe me a seller, he says to the lender. The lender says, no. Sela hil v'sicha lav b'sela ha'yishava. I lent you a seller, and the security was worth a seller, so we're even. So he's denying the claim of the borrower. Yeshav ha'mal v'shen b'shusay. So again, first the lender has to swear that it's not in his possession. And v'koil b'shvu'asay, he includes in his oath, shahay ha'mashkin k'neged achayv, that the collateral is equal to the debt. In other words, in addition to the oath that he swears, because he's a kaif b'koil, because he's claiming him a seller, and he's denying that whole seller. So he includes in that the security was equal to the amount of the debt. Now, Amar Leiva, another case. Let's say the bar, which is like the inverse of the ratio. Amar Leiva, let's say the bar says, Sela hil v'sami lav. You lent me a loan for a sela, u'shtayim ha'yishava, and it was worth the security I gave. It was double the amount of the loan. And that's, you lost. You owe me a sela. But Amar Leiva, the lender says, Sela hil v'sicha lav, I lent you a sela, v'chamisha dinar ha'yishava. Which is, he's admitting that the security was a little bit worth more, not double, but instead of 4 dinar, it's 5 dinar. Again, first the lender swears that it's not in his possession. And he includes in that oath that it wasn't worth any more than 5 dinar. And he pays, the lender has to pay the borrower that extra dinar that he's admitting to. Now the cases, again, with the lender and the borrower, regarding when they don't know what its value was. So let's say he tells him, Sela hil v'sicha lav. The lender tells the borrower, on this security it was a loan of a sela, u'shnei dinam ha'yishava. And the mashkin, the security, was only worth 2 dinar, half of the value of the loan. The loan of the borrower says, look, in yidei adamim, I don't know how much, what the security I gave you, how much it was worth. So in that case, yishav amal b'shein b'shus. So again, first the lender swears that it's not in his possession. The koil b'shuas, and he includes in this oath, she'shnei dinar ha'yishav, that it was worth only 2 dinar, because he's the only one that's making a definite claim. And v'yishav amal b'shachayv, and the borrower has to pay the rest of the debt. Why? He knows definitively that he owes him. Meaning, he knows there is a loan. He's admitting to that. He's just saying that it's a security. So he just doesn't know if he paid him back with the loss of his security. or if he didn't pay him back, because he doesn't know how much it was worth. Now, whoever says, I don't know if I returned, is liable to pay for what he knows definitely that he did owe. A different case. Let's say he says, the borrower says, that the loan was for a seller, and the security was worth double the amount of the loan. The lender says, I don't know how much the security was worth. I know it got lost, okay, I'm responsible, but I don't know how much it was. So first of all, again, Yishav HaMal V'Shem B'Shus, the lender swears it's not in his possession. The Yichlon includes She'eni Idea Shadam of Yesa Alachayiv Afilip Rutachas, that he says that he includes an oath that he doesn't know, he has to swear that he doesn't know that the money was worth more than the debt, even by one Pruta. So therefore, it's not more that he doesn't owe, and therefore Yipata, he's going to be off the hook, he's going to be exempt. And the reason is, Sharei Lechiyiv Atzmei B'Kulam, because he didn't make himself liable for anything. Because whoever says to someone else, you owe me 100 dinar, and the other guy says, I don't know, he's going to be potter. Now, if not for the fact that he has to swear that it's not in his possession, he actually would just make a rabbinic oath and it would be potter. But since this halach of Gilgul Shvuah, once he's swearing, you make him swear other things, so he has to swear it with Nikita's chavis, but really, he's totally denying any liability. Aval imam ha-mavl, but if let's say the lender says, Ani yodeya shayishav yesal chayv, I do know that the security was worth more than the debt that you owed me. Aval eni dea kama, but I don't know how much it was actually worth, where he is making himself liable for payment. He just doesn't know how much. Then there is a masham kama shatar nalei, but then he has to pay everything that the borrower is claiming, which is double the amount of the loan, so he owes him like the amount of the loan. Beloy shvuah, meaning without an oath on the part of the borrower. Kemisha amal, like a case where he tells him, chamishim yeshlecha biyodi, it's like where the guy says, yes, I owe you 50, but the other 50 you're claiming I don't know about, where he has to swear, because he might be mixes. But in this case, he cannot swear that he paid him back, like we're going to explain later on, where here he can't, because he doesn't know to swear, and he just can make a chayim, whoever's making a false claim, but he has no way of getting out of it, and therefore he's going to have to pay. Halacha Hey continues regarding if the claim for the money is before the loan matured, before the date when it was supposed to be paid up from. So if someone lends his friend, but kavli is malapar, and he sets a date for him when he has to pay it up by. Ava bishul economy yodi, even if there was no acquisition on that date, in the yachal tavet sevizman. Still, even though there was no kin, no chalipin on there, no actual acquisition on that date, he cannot claim it from him until the end of the time. And this is Bein Mil Ba'al-Peh, whether it was an oral loan, Bein Mil Ba'al-Shtah, whether it was a written in the document, Bein Shel Va'al Mashkin, whether the loan was on security, Bein Shel Meis Leva, Bein Shel Meis Mavo, whether the borrower dies, whether the lender dies, doesn't make a difference. When the Stam Milvan, in a general loan, which was not specified, the period is Shlei Shem Yoyim for 30 days, Bein Mishtar, Bein Al-Peh, Bein Al-Mashkin, whether in the document, whether orally, whether on security. Now, Bein His Neshiyiz, Ba'al-Bukhaz Man Shiyiz, but let's say they stipulated that he could claim it from whenever he wants to. And then he can claim it that same day that he lent it from him, because it's a stipulation regarding monetary law, which you could stipulate whatever you want when it comes to monetary law. If the lender claims and he says, today is the end of the day when we had made up that it should be paid up by. The bar says, not true. You set it the date for 10 days from now. So the bar has to swear a rabbinic oath, like anyone who's making a total denial regarding monetary law, which this is like a monetary element of holding on to the money for another 10 days. Now, but if there was a single witness who he also says that, yes, today was the end of the date, then he has to actually take a biblical oath like all other claims, because when you have an Eid Echad, that's Machai B'Shvu and Hatayr, which you have to do with Nikita's Chayf. It has the halach of the biblical oaths. Now, let's say this one says, Chamisha Yashem Nisha Min Azman. Let's say the lender says, no, it's only 5 days left to the end of the time. And the bar says, no, 10 days left. So Aymer Lamalva, they tell to the lender like this, Hamtim Oid at Seva Chamisha. First, wait till the end of the 5 days, because even according to the lender, it's not yet the end of the date yet. And maybe the bar is going to admit it in between, and therefore it's going to come out that the oath would be unnecessary. So first, wait till that date. And then, Mishama Hesse Shanisha Oid Chamisha Yam, then the bar is going to have to take a rabbinic oath that this store remains another 5 days. Halacha Zayin, Haysa Milva Bishtar. If the loan was recorded in a document, but it didn't say when the date was going to, when the loan's going to be up by. V'ton Halay B'Shez Man Kevateli, and the borrower is claiming that you set a date for me. Yerali, it appears to me, says the Rambam, Shishav B'Al Chayv Hesses, that the creditor swears a rabbinic oath, Shaloy Kovel Esman, that he did not set a time for him, and therefore Vital Milva B'Yad, he could collect it right away, when there is no time, that he could collect whenever he wants to. Halacha Ches, regarding the place of where one pays back a loan. So milva nitna li toveya b'chamakim. A loan could be collected wherever they are. Ketzer haso. So malvas chaveda b'yishum. Let's say someone lends his friend money in the settled area. Which va b'mit, but then they're out in the desert, he claims his money from him. In yochel l'tchayis, he cannot push him away. El chayv l'freil b'chamakim shidven. He has to pay him back wherever it is that he claims it from him. But the other way around, ba leivu l'parta b'mit, but let's say the bar wants to pay him back in the desert. Harashus b'yad amalva, the option is given to the lender. Imratza mekabel, if he wants, he could accept it. Imratza imel, but if he wants, he could tell it to the borrower. Eini nifra el b'yishav. I only want to be paid back in the city. Kedech shenasat l'cha b'yishav, just like I gave it to you in the settled area. V'harin b'shusa, and if it's going to remain in the domain of the borrower, she for en b'yishav until he pays him back in the settled area. He says, I don't want to get paid there. I don't want to hold on to money over here. And he has that option to be only paid where he gave the loan.